It is an awakening to know how much God loves us and how much He pursues us. I told some of the staff this morning, I wish we had a camera up here that recorded every one of you coming in today, because none of you knew where your chair was. And I'll tell you, as long as you got a green one, you're okay. But it's just so funny. We all have our seats, and I feel weird over there because that's not exactly where my chair normally is. But just if you haven't figured out by now, we've got a big Christmas party tonight, and this is the setup for it. And it's a lot easier on us if we can have it set up before and not have to rush around and do it Sunday afternoon to be ready. But isn't our building beautiful? I'll tell you what, our staff worked tirelessly all week long and worked so hard, and it looks so good. And tonight after the tree lighting, you'll see even more lights here, but we just encourage you to love the season. It's a great season. Christmas season is so good. I hope you find ways to celebrate it too. We have our ways. We took our granddaughter to the zoo the other day, and the zoo lights, and they're new this year, just in case you want to know, and they're worth going to see. But around every corner, she's almost four, she went, "Oh, it's so beautiful. Oh, it's so beautiful." And it is so exciting to see excitement in young ones. And you know, the season is to be celebrated. It really is. I encourage you to find celebrations, do things that your family can think back on. And most of the time when we think back on traditions, there's a warm spot in our heart. It just warms our heart. It brings a smile to our face. You know, we're going to talk, oddly enough, about Jesus. All month long as we think about this wonderful celebration that we have that's coming. And every Sunday we're going to look at kind of a different facet of Jesus. Today we're going to talk about the plan of Jesus. Next week, the Redeemer. The next week, the Son. The next week, the gift. And the next week, the answer. And I want you to try to see this as we are looking at different facets of Jesus. From this vantage point, maybe we're seeing the plan, and it was God's plan when things were not going so well in the earth. God sent His prophetic words to encourage His people, and I love to be reminded of the reason that Jesus was sent to start with. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man, for Jesus came to seek and save those who were lost. The Message version says, for the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost. I love how the International Children's Bible says, the Son of Man came to find lost people and save them. And it's just that simple, that Jesus wants to save. That's why He came. That's why He continues to come into people's hearts when they ask. It's the best news ever that Jesus came to seek and save those that are lost. It's the best gift ever. It's the best reason to celebrate. It's better than your favorite team winning the championship. It's better than the lights at the zoo. It's better than the best Christmas musical. It's better even than a bowl game. The truth is, I was once lost, but now I'm not lost anymore. What Jesus did for me is the reason I should celebrate. What Jesus did for you is the reason you should celebrate. You know, at a time in history where there was much darkness and despair in the world, nothing good in sight, all hope was lost, the prophet Isaiah brought some good news to God's people. News that would give them a great hope for their and their ancestors' future. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Two chapters later, Isaiah 19, verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there'll be no end. He will reign on David's throne over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Jesus was God's plan. Now fast forward 2,000 plus years. The world is still dark. It's dismal. It's without hope. And the gift of Jesus is still the very best news. The truth is that the world has had many advancements in the natural. And there's still a sense and a false hope that things in the natural will bring the satisfaction and contentment. But God knows that we all need the greatest gift. Jesus. That was his plan. The world is full of solutions, ways to succeed, ways to be satisfied, and each one of us are on this journey to find fulfillment. We want to be fulfilled. We want to find meaning. We want to be complete. You know, there's an old country song that's entitled, the lyrics is Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. It's really like that with us. Some people spend their lives looking for something they desire in the wrong places. Some people are always searching for something that the world has to offer. Some people gather natural things to try and fill the God-shaped hole that's inside of them. Far too often we seek tangible things to bring the fulfillment and adhere to the familiar sentiment. The one who dies with the most stuff wins. Well, here's what the Bible says about that mentality. Matthew 6:33. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Since we're made in the image of God, God is the only thing that'll bring fulfillment, contentment, satisfaction, and security. Jesus is still God's plan. And he's still seeking to save those that are lost. He didn't stop doing that just because he went to the Father. Jesus wants to make sure that none perish, that all would come to repentance. Now, most of you know this story, but it's a clear portrayal of someone seeking the wrong stuff to bring fulfillment. It's in Mark 10, starting in 17. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him and he knelt down. And he asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother." "And teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young." Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. And I love how that is the motivating factor between motivating Jesus to touch his people. He has compassion. He has. There is a motivation of love in him. And he looked. He said, "There is still one thing you haven't done. Go and sell all your possessions and give money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. That's a hard one to listen to, isn't it? But what God's after is your heart. He doesn't need your stuff. He doesn't need you just obeying these rules. He needs your heart. And he's after your heart. He's given us, if you're a Christian, he has given us a new heart. He's replaced the old. He's given us a new heart. But when we sin, there's a hardness that comes to our heart. And thankfully, when we repent, that hardness begins to melt. But I want you to think about the things that you're doing that's not God's will, that you really haven't owned up to yet. to me, the picture I get in my mind is unrepentant sin is a hardness in her heart. And if Jesus sent away this good man because of the condition of his heart, he challenged him, is I want your heart. And if you just do everything I ask, that means it'll tell me I've got your heart. So what does Jesus ask of us? He asks us to be one that reflects his glory. He would love for us to be perfect, but that's not possible. But he gives us the opportunity to be made perfect with repenting of our sin, when we repent of our sins. See, when one of the disciples questioned Jesus about the way to God, here's Jesus' answer, and you know it. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, the disciple, I am the only way to God, and the real truth, and the real life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In a world that we live in that seems to have multiple ways to accomplish things, Jesus is still the best plan. Jesus is still the best answer. Jesus is still the way. He's still the truth. He's still the life. Jesus is still the only way to the Father. When we think about celebrating this season, we think about the forgiveness of Jesus and what that meant and what it continues to mean. We just got finished decorating a few things around the house, and I become a little elf at times when Susan gets an idea. She said, what if we do this? What if we do this? And I want to say, we've never done it that way before. That's not what we usually do. But there are different ways that she wants to bring life into the festivities, the celebration of Jesus. One of the most favorite thing we have is we've got this manger scene that lights up. And it's our favorite because of what it stands for. But it took us a while before we would actually spend that money. I didn't want to spend it. In fact, you'll get a good laugh at this. I ordered one, I found one, and it was only $39.99. And I was excited. It came, and it was this big. And it just so happened that they wouldn't take it back unless I paid the shipping, which went to China. And it cost more to send it back than I paid for it to start with, so I just put it on the shelf. But Susan found one that's about this tall, and it's just made of rickety kind of stuff, but it's beautiful because of what it stands for. It's all illuminated. And what it does, it warms our heart every time we pull into the yard, into the driveway, because we know exactly why we're celebrating. Jesus is front and center. We'll do all kind of other things. We'll go look at Christmas lights, and we'll shop, and we'll give gifts, and we'll do all those things. But front and center is Jesus, the birth of Jesus, why we celebrate the plan of God by sending Jesus. And everyone that passes gets a glimpse of what's front and center in our lives. And our lives are to be one that shows people front and center who we serve. And we only do that by our actions. We do that by how we respond to things. You know, you can get under it. And like I said, when we first finished that second song, is some of you maybe have felt under the weight of things. When you realize how much you're loved, everything changes. There is a seal of approval that Jesus has for his people. And it comes from a repentant heart. He wants us to give him everything. If he tells you to sell something, I would sell it if I were you. Susan and I have given things away when it didn't make financial sense for us to give them away. But we know the voice of the Lord. And we also know that it's much better to be obedient than holding on to something because you think you're due it. That thing will rot on the vine if you keep it. So I want you to think about celebrating. I want you to think about celebrating the plan. The whole plan that Jesus was sent ought to make us never have a bad day. Now I know in this world there's plenty to get upset about. There's plenty to get down under about. The weight of the world. If we allow the weight of the world, we'll be under it. And then we'll miss the illumination that we are to be to this world that shows people who is front and center in our life. All week long, this verse, Isaiah 26:3, was just swirling in my spirit. And if you don't know it, here it is. You will keep in perfect peace all whose thoughts are fixed on you. That's a declaration. If you're not feeling peace today, if you're feeling under it today, and sometimes the holidays aren't the most joyous, I understand that. But if we fix our thoughts on Him, what happens out here doesn't really matter. Things can actually fall apart. You can get a 12-inch manger scene and it not discourage you. And maybe you'd even use it. I didn't even want to plug it in. I don't think the light would have been seen. But if we let things in the world weigh us down, we are not going to shine. And I'll tell you that Jesus left us here to carry on His work. He kept us here so that we would shine brightly as we hold out, as we serve the Word of God to others that come into our life. If all Jesus wanted from you and me was to make Him our Savior, if that's all He wanted, He'd take us to heaven immediately. But He's left us here. And He's left us here with a commandment to go and preach the gospel. Don't let those words scare you. Go tell your story of what Jesus did for you. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was lame, but now I walk. See, we've all got this story to tell. And it's not for you. It's not just for you. It is for you. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves of how far we've come. And listen, you are not where you're going to end up, but you're surely not where you used to be. And if we forget our testimony, we forget some of the power we have against the enemy. That we fight the enemy, certainly the blood of Jesus, but the word of our testimony. That we are reminding the enemy that he's not number one. That he is not front and center. No, Jesus is. Jesus is the center of my heart. Of our world. It's the center of our life. It should be the center of your relationships. It should be the center of your workmanship. Jesus. Everything should come from Jesus. That was the plan all along. That He would come and find you and chase you down and go around the block with sirens if He needed to chase you down just to tell you how much He loves you. And how much you mean to Him. And the great plan that He has for your life. And how, yes, you can blow it at times, but Jesus' forgiveness removes our sin from us as far as the east is from the west and remembers our sin no more. That is something to get excited about. It really is. When I think about all my shortcomings, and then I think of the forgiveness of Jesus, and how the forgiveness of Jesus covers all my sins. Every one of them. And there's nothing that He can't forgive you of. Because He wants you to walk in wholeness and health. He wants you to walk brilliant for Him. He doesn't want you to be a 12-inch monument. He'd rather you be much larger. And not because you are anything. It's because He is everything. See, the more we submit to Him, the more He comes. You're not feeling Jesus? Maybe you're not submitting to him. And listen, it's not all about feelings, but there is something to feelings, or whether God wouldn't have made our bodies able to feel. There is something that he ministers to us in tangible ways. You might be the tangible love for Jesus that some of your coworkers need. And I'll tell you that even though the world is kind of anti-Jesus in many ways, the Christmas time is a time that they tolerate it a little bit more. That you can shine. And everybody can know who's front and center in your life. They can pull up to your house and maybe see that you are a reflection of Jesus. In how you act, how you respond, how you treat others. Listen, it's easy to want all the forgiveness that God wants of us. It's much harder to do that to other people. It's much harder to forgive those that trespass against us. We want to hold them accountable. We want to make them pay. But Jesus didn't make us pay. Jesus didn't make us accountable. Jesus says, I'll take your wrongdoing. I'll take it away from you. I paid the penalty. You don't have to pay for it. It will be as though you have never sinned before. And if you're like me, you need that forgiveness on a daily basis, sometimes moment by moment, because the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. The enemy is not going to let up as long as you're a threat to his dark kingdom. Think about that. If the enemy's not messing with you, that means you're not a threat. And you better be a threat to him. The Word of God, the power of God, makes the enemy shake in his boots. And if you're not feeling some kind of onslaught, then maybe you've not submitted enough. Maybe he doesn't have your heart. In all things. Maybe you've obeyed the rules, but you've left out the heart part. And listen, parents know this real well. We want our kids to obey, but we want them to want to obey. My famous state response to our four boys was anytime they said, I'm sorry, I said, well, we'll see if you're sorry, because it'll change your actions. Now, I was not as kind in my response. I would say, you better show it. But that's really where repentance shows, is there's a change in us. So if we've truly repented, there's a behavioral change. And if there's a behavioral change, guess what? The people in your sphere of influence will sense that. They may not ask you about it, but they'll take note of it. So-and-so used to blow his top here. So-and-so used to get really mad when they took his parking spot. So-and-so took my chair in the church to say, so we mix things up so you don't even know which one's your chair, do you? But those petty things keep us from shining and then make us blend in with the world. That can get worse than that. But Jesus is chasing you down to make sure you know how much he loves you. And he is not going to stop chasing you down, because his heart is that none would perish. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. He wants all to accept him. He wants all to take his way of doing things, his will. And we can celebrate this season because of the plan that God had for Jesus. Jesus is still the only way to the Father. Maybe you're here today and you found you've been searching and searching for something to bring you this satisfaction, this fulfillment, this contentment, or this security. And maybe you've been looking for it in the wrong places. John chapter 10, starting in verse 6, Jesus told this simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about. So he tried it again. He said, I'll be explicit then. I am the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good. The sheep rustlers, every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for. Freely will go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so they can have eternal, real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. That is the plan. The life that Jesus has for us to live is the best life you could ever have. Listen, Jesus is still the plan. That hasn't been replaced. It's still, He's still the plan. He's still the way. He's still the truth. He's still the life. He's still the only way to the Father. To coin an old phrase, Jesus really is the reason for the season. The challenge is to celebrate Jesus in every way this season. Let's celebrate God's plan. That's Jesus. Let's do that. There are two times in the year that the gospel is easier for people to accept, and it's Christmas time and Easter. We're coming up on a critical time in the calendar of God, I would say. The Christmas time, people, they want to know a little bit more. What is Christmas all about? And it's much easier in December to talk about it than it is in November. Just as it's much easier to talk about the resurrection for people when it's approaching Easter, which could be April or March or April. We're coming up on the days in this season that people are open and they're receptive. And we have a responsibility as part of the army of God to hold out the word of life, to live our lives so that people would want to catch what we have. The love that we have for people, no matter who they are or what they stand for. The grace that we would have for people, no matter what walk of life they're part of. Even the ones that are running fast away from Jesus. That we would be used during this time to show forth His glory. And again, it's not our glory. It's not North Star's glory. It's none of that. It is God's glory. The plan of Jesus is important. It's important that we make that front and center, not only in our celebrations, but in our life. But especially in our celebrations. Even in places where it's maybe not as accepted as others. God can give you creative ways to shine His light so that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's what a mobilized, powerful church does. It goes out to the highways and byways being the hands and feet of Jesus. And we should be moved by what moves Jesus. As He was talking to this young man who had everything in the natural but lacked giving his heart away to Jesus. He had great love for him. Jesus approached him from a position of great love. Jesus will approach those in your life with great love. And maybe He'll use you, I would say more often than not, to shine His glory into those around you. It may be in subtle ways. It may not even be a word that you speak. But how many of you know when you are consumed by the love of God, you can't help but show it? The love of God comes out. And it comes out in the most natural way because we're His creations. He loves us completely. Therefore, His love is a natural extension of what His people should deliver. We are to walk around serving God's people, everyone that He made, the Word of Life. Does it mean that it's always accepted? No. But I promise you that it'll make a mark on that person. And it may not make a life change right then, but there'll be a thirst in them that one day they will go. He'll draw upon that. They'll remember that. Oh, I remember that. I remember the very first time I ever felt like That's what walking in God's will felt like. I was working with my grandfather. He was a builder among a lot of things. So anytime he was laying brick, he didn't have an electric mixer. He had me. So I was mixing mortar. And I would begin to think about what his next move would be. Would he want a shovel of mortar, or would he need this block or this brick? And I would begin to anticipate his next move, and I would have it there ready for him. And I remember distinctly, I couldn't have been more than 8 or 9 years old, or maybe 10. I remember thinking, that must be what it feels like to be in God's will. There was something inside of me. As I just was doing a very practical thing, it's because my heart was for serving. And I wanted to do this. I didn't want him to have to ask for it. I didn't want him to have to stop what he's doing to ask for this. And what a picture that is of us and the Father. We don't want him to even have to ask us. We see the opportunity and we go ahead and go through the narrow gate there. Or we do the hard thing. If any of you mixed mortar before by hand, it's not an easy thing to do. And it was never just perfect every time I finished it, because he'd have to go back to it and tend to it a little bit more. Sometimes we'll come out of the gate and maybe we do most everything that God wants us to do and we didn't totally complete it, and God's sovereign power comes in and begins to complete the project. And I just remember as a young kid that feeling. Oh, boy, that felt great. And I want to do that more. And it's not just because it's my grandfather, but I want to do that more. And I wonder if that would be the product of God's love, that we would go around watching for what God wants to do next and getting involved in it even before he puts it on our heart or we feel led to, you know, those things that Christians say, oh, I hadn't felt led to yet. Well, yeah, we know what that is. But wouldn't it be awesome if we were already drawn to that because of the love of God, of the love that God loves us, and as the love of God comes out of us, that we step into where God wants us before he even has to say, I want you to do this. We anticipate what God is going to do. And I can tell you that it's the best feeling in the world. If you're moved about feelings, if you want to feel good, you start doing the will of God. And there is something of satisfaction, of contentment, of security, of don't care what anybody else thinks, is I'm going to please my God. That feeling will propel you past the days that you're heavy, laden, and discouraged, and depressed, and just down on yourself, because the enemy is whispering all that mess to us. The enemy wants to disengage you. He wants to disengage me. He wants us to not lean upon God. He wants us not to listen to the voice of God. And he wants us to fill our head with what he's saying, which will cause us, bare minimum, to go into neutral, if not go into reverse. And if the enemy can get you at least in neutral, you're no threat to him. You're not going anywhere. But when the power of God comes into your life and you accept the love that he has for you, all of a sudden, you got a hearse shifter. You car me in. And you shift it into high gear when you experience the love of God, when you know what God wants you to do, when you know that you're in the will of God. And you may not have every single answer, but you know you're in the right place. You know that you're walking in the path that God has for you. And things just begin to happen sovereignly because of the power of Jesus. And that was God's plan, is to send Jesus. So we're going to celebrate this month different facets of Jesus every week. And you're going to get a different picture of Jesus. And it's going to cause you to see how much he loves you more, even more. And it's going to affect your life. If you'll accept his love, it'll change you forever. It's the best decision I ever made in my life, was to come to Jesus. The best decision I ever made was to come to Jesus. And maybe you're here today, and maybe you're online, and you really never given your heart to Jesus. Well, listen, you can do that in a moment. It's important It's so important that Jesus died for you, me, so that we wouldn't have to be punished for our sins, and it's not a ticket to continue to sin. Because if you really accept His forgiveness, you don't want to sin anymore. Your body may lean that way a little bit, and you may find you're drawn to it in a way, but there's something inside of you that's changed your life, and you don't have the same love for sin as you used to. In fact, you begin to hate what Jesus hates, and you will begin to love what Jesus loves. And that's how you know you're operating in the things of God, is that you hate those things He hates. And until God's people really hate sin, I don't know what kind of difference we're going to be able to make. We've got to hate it. It can't be just something that you just dislike. Somehow my family has gotten the idea I like chocolate-covered cherries. And I get them quite often. Not Susan and not my children, but anyway, I hate those things. As a child, I might have liked them, but I hate those things. And I think Jesus hates them personally. And anytime I get that, I go, my mom might be watching the broadcast, who knows? But I just push it away. I don't want it. That's how we need to be about sin. The things that used to look like you are, that used to draw you in really easily. No, you got a distaste for it. And you want to push back. I don't want that anymore. That's the position we ought to have towards sin. And when our position towards sin is that way, guess what? Our acceptance of the ways of God is greater. The more we push back on sin, the more capacity we have to contain what God has for us. I'm convinced that we just don't operate in a fraction of how God wants us to operate in the things of the Spirit. I'm convinced with that. Because I think He's got all power. And He wants to give His people all power so that none would perish. So that all would come to repentance. Not so you'd get a brand new car or you'd get a big house or you would be influential and all that stuff. That might come, but that's not what God's after. God's after your heart. He wants you to give Him your heart. You can obey the rules and still hold your heart away. He wants you to give Him your heart. Jesus knows that when He has your heart, He's got you. And He can just move you just by moving something in your heart, just by moving you around. I want you over here. I want you over here. And when we want the things that God has for us, we don't fight against Him. We don't say, okay, God, you so-and-so. So-and-so could do that a lot better than me. And I can just hear Jesus say, well, I didn't ask Him to do it. I'm asking you to do it. But the more we hate sin, the more we're going to love what God wants. The more we love what God wants, the more bright and brilliant we are to shine like bright shining stars in this dark and depraved world as we hold out the word of life. That's the abundant church. That's the church that God wants. And He's called us to labor together. And it's exciting to labor together. We can do a lot more together than we can ever do by ourselves. So I want to challenge you this month of December to celebrate Jesus at every juncture, any way you can. It brings honor to God, but it is a brilliant testimony to who you believe and who you live for. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for today. Lord, You're an amazing God. You really are. Your love for us absolutely amazes us. How can You love us? Lord, we thank You for saving us and loving on us, chasing us down and being relentless toward us. And Lord, we thank You for the plan of Jesus that is so evident for today. Jesus, You're still the plan. We celebrate Jesus today. We thank you for moving in power in the lives of your people. We thank you for accepting our worship and our adoration in our lives. And we thank you for the new heart. Thank you for finding us. Thank you for chasing us. Thank you for being relentless toward us. And Lord, I pray today, if there's anybody online or anybody in this building or anybody that will possibly watch this broadcast later, if they would consider themselves far from you, Lord, I pray that they would hear you knocking on the door of their heart. Lord, I pray that you do that loud and clear. Make your presence known today, because you don't want them to perish. You don't want them to be destined for the place that wasn't even created for mankind. Lord, would you convict them of their sin right now, their ways that don't line up with you? And Lord, if there are those that maybe are just checking all the boxes and obeying, but they haven't given you their heart, I pray that you knock loudly on the door of their heart. Let them know you're there. And Lord, all it takes is an invitation, an open door. And your word tells us you come in and you sit down with them. So I pray today with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you would call yourself far from God and you don't want to remain far from God, we want to pray with you. We want to make sure that you have Jesus in your heart. If you would just lift your hand right where you are. Nobody's looking around. If you're online, just put a wave in the chat. I see your hand. Thank you very much. I see your hand. Thank you. Your hand. Thank you so much. Maybe there are others. Just give us a few minutes here. This is an important time. The kingdom of God is building right here in our midst. Who else is that tonight? If I've acknowledged your hand, you can put it down, but there's still you that want to raise your hand. That's good. Raise it good. Just give you a moment more. Don't miss this opportunity. You can accept Jesus anytime. It doesn't have to be right now, but right now God is doing something in this room. He's knocking on the door of your heart. You cannot deny it. He wants you to respond. He wants you to open up the door of your heart. He wants you to invite him in, and he will come in and he will sit down with you and he will love on you. You will experience the love and forgiveness of Jesus. One last time, let me ask, are there others? There's three that raised their hand. Are there others today that would say yes to Jesus? I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Just 30 more seconds. Just 30 more seconds. I don't want to cut it off quick. God's moving and working. He's doing a great work, and he's got great things to do in the lives of those that are submitted to him. Now here's what I want us to do. I want us to pray a prayer. Repeat after me. I want everybody in the building to say the prayer, especially those four that raised their hands online. If this is you or you're sitting in your home, I want you to repeat this prayer after me too, so that we can make sure that we are touching those that need to commit their lives to this. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father.